This seemed like it should be headline news. I'm surprised you aren't in the news every week.
We need to remove the fear. Yeah. I think that sometimes the constant talk about how you can't afford a house, people believe that.
Oh, yeah.
And so just taking down that barrier and saying, just go on the website and check. After 7 years, our homeowners will come out with an average of $45,000 in equity.
Wow.
And so, you know, this is a great wealth builder.
That's fantastic.
For families that they can pass to their children, along with the stability and all of the other benefits that come.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Austin Hires Local podcast. My name is Tamara Atkinson, and I have the privilege of serving as the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area, where we regularly invite leaders from our community and across the state to join us on the record to talk about issues impacting our workforce here in Austin. And today I have the honor of being joined by my newest friend, Michelle Anderson, who serves as the CEO of Habitat for Humanity in Austin. And I am so excited today, Michelle. I'd like to kind of dig into a few topics with you. I'd like to talk about your definition of a community thriving and how that relates to home ownership. I'm hoping you will talk to us in our audience about misconceptions about being able to afford a home. And then finally, and I know this from previous conversations with you, I hope you'll talk about what it means to build community and how you build hope into community. And along the way, I'm hoping you might also make a reference or two to how a water bottle today might become something that impacts Habitat for Humanity in the future. Are you game for this?
I am ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's jump in. Before we jump in, though, I do need to say to our audience, and I know you're so excited for the interview, we are going to take a beat on this podcast, take a few months, so you're not going to see releases for a while, but don't worry, we'll be back. And keep your input rolling in. We love to hear from you. Okay, Michelle, at Workforce Solutions Capital Area, we stand for jobs, supporting and connecting local people to jobs. And so I like to kind of warm people up on this podcast by asking about first jobs. So tell me about your first job and what did you learn from it?
My mom had a fabric store and taught sewing classes, so it was a family business. So at 13, she said I needed to join the family business, so I would go down on Sundays when we were closed and mop the floors, clean the bathrooms, dust, and vacuum if I wanted an allowance. So what I learned is when you have a family business, you start early. And when I turned 16, I knew I had reached the pinnacle of my career because I was able to work the cash register.
That's fantastic. And so where was this? Where did you grow up?
In Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay. And so does your family still have this business?
No, my mom closed it when I was 16, actually, right when I made
the cash. Are you the reason they closed it?
I know. I ran the cash register and ran us right into the ground.
Oh, that's funny. So my father was a small business owner in North Texas.
Okay.
And so I also mopped floors, cleaned sinks, starting at a very young age. I call it child labor. He calls it joining the family business.
That was our same conversation.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. So you just mentioned you're from Virginia. And I think I understand from previous conversations with you, you have not always been with Habitat for Humanity. You had a career first in another industry. So tell me about your journey to Habitat for Humanity and tell me about what brought you from Virginia to Texas.
Okay. Well, this is one of my favorite stories.
Oh, good.
So I've worked in nonprofit for my entire career, started as an intern and then worked my way up to CEO with United Way. And we had done a project called ALICE, Asset Limited, Income Constrained and Employed. So I'm sure you're kind of familiar with that.
Sure.
And we did a pilot program to have women that were working full-time, but were still needing some assistance. Our goal was to move them to complete self-sufficiency. In that program, which we piloted for 5 years, we learned that there was a difference when people owned a home. That was when we knew they were stable and that they weren't going to need a support. So I really got interested in what is the difference in home ownership. And I had just completed a big strategic plan. My youngest went to college, and I got contacted by a friend that said Habitat was looking for a new CEO. And I had a little bit of interest because of that housing.
Yeah.
And then I interviewed with the Austin Habitat board. And I mean, on the Zoom call, I knew I was supposed to be here.
Oh, that's a fantastic story.
And just to tie it back to the fabric store a little bit with my mom. So I was raised by a single mom.
Okay.
And she struggled. You know, at times she struggled, do I pay rent or health insurance?
Mm.
She chose health insurance and at 40 got cancer.
Mm.
And so she had to take out a loan to pay for life-saving surgery. Mm. I was 10 at that point. And I really watched my mom struggle. After that, we had a neighbor. This was before Habitat. Habitat was founded in 1988.
Okay, I was going to ask you about the history.
Yeah. And so this was in the late 70s. A neighbor who was going to med school and graduated and was going on to intern said they wanted to help my mom finance a house. So we lived in a townhouse. They lived next door. They helped her finance because she wouldn't qualify.
Oh, wow.
She was like a pre-Habitat owner, and they financed her and gave us a home. They kind of adopted us and took us in. And my mom still owns that house to this day.
Oh.
I've never seen anyone have more pride in ownership than her, and it was an anchor. We moved all the time, every year, just like our homeowners, when rent goes up or someone sells a property. And after that, we never had a move. And I think how much that had to do with me having stability to be able to go to college. I was the first one in our family to go to college.
Mm.
I just had that community around me because we didn't move anymore. And so coming to Habitat felt like coming home.
Oh, I love that story. Thank you for sharing that with us. I can really see how having a foundation, a home as a foundation, stabilizes a family. And I'm thinking about the gift that that neighbor gave your family. And it dawns on me that that seems like that's what Habitat Humanity does, is you step in almost and serve as that community neighbor to help people. So maybe talk a little bit about the mission of Habitat Humanity here in Austin. And also let us know, is there anything that Austin does differently than other habitats, or are we part of a major system and the formula works?
Right. And a little bit of both. So and you're exactly right. So we are providing homes for workforce housing, people that earn between $63,000 and $97,000.
That's a pretty big range.
That's a pretty big range.
Yeah.
And it's where most of our workforce lies. So this is just like with my mom. It's someone helping you get started, and then it's you. You own the house. You have a mortgage. So these are hardworking families that are in that range that just puts them at a distance from full market value.
Okay.
So you asked how we're different. So
yeah,
we're very much the same in the fact that Habitat homes are always well-built. You know, we have volunteers, we have donations. So these homes are really well built. They're high quality homes. So we say cheap homes are not affordable. So we do not build cheap homes.
Oh, wow.
Our homes will value at market rate. It's just we don't sell them at market rate. So what is different about Austin, and the other reason I really wanted to come here, is we are putting about 21 homes in the market each year. And we said that is not enough for our workforce housing. So we decided we wanted to triple that number.
Okay.
So starting next year, we're going to be putting over 75 homes in the market.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yes. And this will be all kinds, which other people don't understand. We have townhomes, condos, single family homes. They're in master communities, so it's a very diverse community. And our homes, you would never know they're Habitat homes. The first neighborhood I visited in Scenic Point, I was like, which ones are Habitat homes? Because
really?
You can't tell the difference. It's just that we sell them at affordable price. So I you know, so appreciate this opportunity because I want to tell people, if you're in that range, go on our website. We have a home for you that you will love and that you will cherish.
Well, there are so many things about this conversation I want to unpack with you. I'm so excited. So first, let's talk about the headline, which is you're tripling, more than tripling, the number of homes that you have available. What has made that possible? Like, because that seems incredible. Did you have an amazing fundraising year? What happened?
Well, it's been in the works. We started a strategic plan and thinking about this about 3 years ago. And the board, when they were interviewing, said, we want to have rapid growth, but we're not sure if we can. I said, just what I want. Let's come into a job and not know if we can hit the goals.
But you're a new CEO. We're going to give you a big, audacious goal. Go for it.
Right. And so we landed on, we are in a silent phase of a capital campaign.
Okay.
But it's really everybody coming together, which I love. The city, the county, businesses. So you've got government in there, and then individuals that want to invest in affordable workforce housing. And I try to say workforce housing so people understand these are people that are working full time, just not able to hit that market house.
Amazing. And congratulations. That's strong leadership. So kudos to you. So workforce housing, do you have a sense of what kind of jobs do these people have? Because I want to paint a picture of who we're talking about here.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of our essential workers, people that need to come into an office every day. Mm-hmm. We did a partnership with the school system.
Really?
And so we have teachers. We have people that work in the school system. We have people that work for the fire department. We have people that are working in your local coffee shop. So it's people that we run into every day that, again, are working hard or just in that 63 up to 97 with the family, you know, have an opportunity to buy a home. So it's our neighbors and our friends.
I love that. I love that. So Michelle, you were just talking about the community coming together to help you raise money under a capital campaign so that you could more than triple the number of workforce homes available. I was doing a little bit of research on Habitat, and I noted on your website that you guys will accept donations in a lot of forms, including crypto. So tell me about that. Like, do you have many people donating crypto? I mean, is that a sign of the times? Like, and why do all Habitats do that?
Well, no. And when you had asked about the how we're different than other Habitats, is we're one of the first Habitats in the country to really have this kind of scale. And I want to let you know, too, that we're not just doing 75. We'll be doing 75 for the next 7 to 10 years. And then we'll
Each year, 75?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And we'll be able to maintain that. And one of the reasons why is because when people decide to move to market, that home comes back to us, they sell it back to us, and then we can sell it to another family. So it's like that flywheel concept. We're going to have a market of houses that will be available.
So that's part of the agreement that the family that gets the home makes.
Right. They'll come out with equity to go to market, and then we will have the opportunity to keep that home affordable. So it's a great concept. But you asked about crypto.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we're one of the first to start that. And, you know, being in Austin, why not?
What I was going to say. Why not? Yeah.
Right. Why not? So we haven't had a lot of donations, but we have had a few. And we had a big conversation in our office on whether we should get crypto or not.
Interesting. Well, I was fascinated when I saw that. And of course, in the media these days, there's a lot of talk about crypto. And so it seems like you guys are ahead of the times.
Yeah, we'll take crypto. We'll take donated items for the Restore, you know. There is also a program that we're going to be doing next year with our Restore, which is super innovative. We're going to be recycling plastic. We have a grant with the Science Institute, and so we'll be able to take plastic and make furniture.
You're getting in the furniture making business too? Like what?
Recycling. I know.
Is it like my plastic water bottle I donate to you and you're going to make a piece of furniture out of it?
Yes.
Like how are you going
to,
how?
We're going to have to do a whole nother show on that. But it's when you talk about, you know, keeping Austin weird, we try to keep that vibe going. But we won this grant and there'll be a big machine outside of our office that will make the furniture and you get to design it.
Is it like a 3D printer? Like
yes.
I put in the water bottles and out comes a chair?
Yes. We don't have it yet, so all we have are designs.
I got to see this when it comes out.
I know, it does. Yeah. So we'll do it. But again, we are looking for any innovative way because the Restore profits go back into helping us build homes. So any way we can do that and then help the environment at the same time, we're always game.
I love that. I also noticed in researching on your website that you offer other services, home-based services to people. So can you talk about, in addition to helping people actually get into a home, talk about the other services that you provide to clients?
Right. Well, we do have Homebase, which is a sister organization, and that is where the builders build the affordable homes, and then we put clients in them and sell them for the developers. So a developer may build a complex, and they get incentivized to do 25 affordable homes. Mm-hmm. Then they'll partner with us, and we'll provide the clients.
Interesting. Well, I love that. I also wanted to thank you because when I was looking on your website, I saw that you link people to Workforce Solutions Capillaria. Thank you very much
Absolutely.
For doing that. We love the partnership and we love helping you with people getting jobs, keeping jobs, and getting childcare. Let's go back to the actual building of the homes.
Okay.
So I think I understand, but you correct me. Do the people who are going to be buying the homes, receiving the homes, do they actually help with building the homes?
Yes.
Okay.
So
is it a requirement or an option?
Well, what we do is we ask people to pay it forward.
Okay.
And so a good way to do that is through their time. So they work on the build site. They can also help in the restore. They can also, you mentioned childcare, babysit for neighbors.
Really?
So
it's a way to give back.
It's a way to give back. But we do like the homeowners to come on the site. And at first, almost everyone wants to because how cool to build your own home.
Yeah, yeah.
But also just to learn all those skills for homeownership because many of our homeowners are first generation homeowners.
Sure.
And so knowing how to do minor repairs and warranties and things like that are really important.
Yeah.
But my first build, I was building with someone and I started talking, surprise, and asking them where they were from, and they were the actual homeowner. And it was so meaningful. So we had a great afternoon building up at Scenic Point.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
Okay, so here's another thing I've heard, and you can confirm. Like, I hear that you have, and you mentioned this, volunteers that are building the homes. Someone like me, should I do that? Like, I don't know how to build a home. So how do you ensure that volunteers who are helping build a home actually do it right?
Right. Well, that's a great question.
Because you said you want to build a quality home, not a cheap home.
Right. And so that's material and how you put it together.
Yeah.
So we have a whole construction crew, and they're just amazing because they're construction workers that also know how to teach. So, and we also have volunteers. We call them regs, and we love them, that have been volunteering for 20 years, and they're highly skilled. So they come out and work with the volunteers. We have some volunteers that have skills. We have others that don't know how to properly use a hammer. So it's a great opportunity. We had a women's build, and it was so great to see women come out that maybe haven't been in that field and learn how to do basic repairs and learn how to use tools. So it's a learning opportunity too for the volunteers, or some just come out and can hit the ground running.
I love that. So, I mean, I think what I understand about Habitat for Humanity is like companies can send teams of people can volunteer. I love hearing that there are regs who are 20 years in plus, but then in my mind, I'm picturing like volunteers like me, hammering away and then a reg coming behind me correcting what I might have done wrong. So that sounds like you've got a great system. So start to finish, talk to me about the process. So someone is income eligible and they live in our, is residency a requirement? Do they have to live in Austin or Travis County?
Yeah, they need to live in the community and work in the community.
Okay, so you've got kind of residency in terms of where they live currently, income. Are there any other requirements?
Well, we work with people on credit. We have people that come in. You can go on the website and do a quick intake form.
Okay.
And we can tell you really quickly whether it's going to be a month or whether it might be, you know, 6 months or a year.
Because they need to improve their credit? Is that
right?
Would that be
it,
why?
It could be credit. We can always help people with down payments. People worry about that. Sometimes it's $1,000, sometimes it's $5,000, but it's dramatically less than what you would have in market.
Absolutely.
People think that's a barrier, but it's not. And we can work with people on credit. And, you know, it's mainly that desire that you want to have a mortgage and build equity. And one of the other things I think that's we didn't talk about a lot in the beginning was generational wealth.
Oh,
yeah. The number one way people build wealth in the United States is through home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an investment. You talk about crypto, right? So a house, after 7 years, our homeowners will come out with an average of $45,000 in equity.
Wow.
And so, you know, this is a great wealth builder.
That's fantastic.
For families that they can pass to their children, along with the stability and all of the other benefits that come.
I'm seeing all upside in what you're talking about and such a great relationship to Workforce Solutions and what we're doing, trying to help people not just get jobs, but grow into careers that are family supporting.
Right, exactly. Careers and that workforce. And then
a stable place to raise your family.
You are thriving at that point. You are no longer struggling and the worry is removed, which is, I think, something that's hard to measure, but that's so important for people to feel that sense of community and security that they're going to be able to provide for their family, not just tomorrow, but next year and in 10 years.
I love that. So let's talk a little bit about the timeline. So for getting a home, so someone qualifies and you said it could be a short amount of time or it could be multiple months. But let's say I'm a client and I qualify. When do I get to move in? Like how long can I expect it will be till I'm in a home?
Well, now it could be a month.
Are you really?
And
so they're being built right now?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because of the accelerated building that we're doing. And also we're doing the Carter Work Project. I wasn't sure if you were going to ask about that.
Yeah.
So we are accelerating and we have homes that are available, which wasn't always the case. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there was a 2-year waiting. So again, if you're thinking about it, call us, go on the website.
Well, I'm so glad you're promoting that, Michelle, because this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast, because when you and I got a chance to talk previously, you said the number one thing I need is help getting the word out that we have homes. And in a community where we spend so much time talking about housing and housing affordability, this seemed like it should be headline news. I'm surprised you aren't in the news every week promoting this. So I'm really glad that you could come on our podcast and promote it from here.
Yeah, well, I am so thankful. What a wonderful gift you've given Habitat and so many families that will have homes because you did this.
Oh, and I love the partnership. I'd love to see some of our clients get. So I'm definitely, we're definitely going to promote within our system.
We need to remove the fear.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes the constant talk about how you can't afford a house, people believe that.
Oh, yeah.
And so just taking down that barrier and saying, just go on the website and check. We work with all kinds of businesses to promote it and their base. So we'd love to promote it to your employees, to your clients, to anyone. Again, 63 to 97, check it out.
Thank you so much. So Michelle, I'm really stuck on this idea of the individuals you're able to help because I'm so happy thinking about what you're able to do. But I can imagine that people that first reach out to Habitat come with some experience and some baggage about previous experiences. So can you talk a little bit about what it's like to show a client that they might be able to afford a home? Like what kind of reactions do you get?
Right. Well, the best story I have on that is our mission is we build homes, hope, and community. And the building
homes, hope, and community.
And I could always explain the building homes, but the hope and community really came from a homeowner that spoke at one of our events. And she said that for 15 years, she had been on Zillow. She was like a frequent user, and every time she could not get a house, so she stopped. And it was a painful decision for her to make that she would never afford a home in Austin. And then someone at her work kept encouraging her to go on and apply. She applied. She got a home. But that story I thought was unique, but every client tells me that they have given up hope on ever being able to buy a home. So I say, don't give up hope. Check it out. It's a couple minutes and that hope. And then she also explained community to me because she said, now I can have coffee with a neighbor. Someone can water my plants when I'm gone. I mean, that it reminds me of my mom, that when you think you can't have something and then you get it, it's that more meaningful to you.
Oh, thank you for sharing that story. I want to also talk a little bit more about community. So I'm imagining like this client, you've helped someone be a homeowner for the first time. They are in community. Are there ways that Habitat helps support people integrating into their new communities? Is that part of what you do? And how successful or not? You talked about a client saying that a neighbor can now water plants, but do you have other examples of how you're helping truly build communities once someone moves in?
Yes, and we are adding a new position called a stewardship position because we just naturally did that with our DNA. But it's really a program to just stay with our families, and if they need any support, we can give it to them. But part of the home ownership process really does that. Number one, building community happens on the build site, but then after the build site, we'll really encourage neighbors to get together and support each other. And we had an example, we talked about a school teacher who moved into her neighborhood and got the kids a basketball because she always saw them outside playing. And then at Christmas, the neighbor brought her some bread over. And then this friendship developed. And she said she had never had that happen in the 7 years she had been in Austin. And so community just develops because you get to know each other. But we're happy to support that. But many times, the homeowners don't even need us for that aspect.
They get into a home, they get in their community, and
they're so excited, and that community spirit's in them, I think, because of the relationship on the builds and with community. And I would say, too, another thing people would say, well, how affordable are your houses?
Thank you for bringing that up. I should have asked you that.
No, I was going to say, so our condos start at $155,000.
Really?
$155,000. You can have a home ownership. And then they will go up to $245,000 for a single family home that has four bedrooms.
Wow.
So we also hit people at all spectrum of lives. And sometimes people think it's only families. It's not. That teacher was a single teacher, a single woman. And so we have variety, single couples, family. We do have a lot of single moms. So if you're a single mom, please go on the website.
Sounds like that's close to your heart as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. 65% of our homeowners are single moms.
Really? 65%? So the majority of clients that use Workforce Solutions Childcare Services are single moms. So
right. These are the same people.
These are the same people we're serving.
These are the same people.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, let's pull the aperture back just a little bit and let's talk about housing in Austin Travis County. So our mayor has made affordability one of his agenda items. I know that you said you work with Judge Brown and the county. I'm wondering, when we look at what's happening in our community and the thousands of homes that we project that we need to serve everyone, how are you working with elected officials? How are you working with communities to ensure, broadly speaking, that there is more affordable housing, not just from Habitat, but across the community?
Right. So we're in partnerships in all kinds of aspects. Well, that's how we met you, right? Mm-hmm. Because all of these childcare, having a job, a career, are all connected, transportation. So we are constantly in groups that cross-pollinate from transportation to education to careers. And we are talking to city officials all the time about the need. And we are also talking with builders and encouraging builders to build affordable homes as they can. And
are they receptive, by the way? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm curious. Like, are builders receptive to that?
They are.
Interesting.
You know, the builders want to fill that need, but they really need a partner because of the cost to build.
Okay.
Really makes it unaffordable.
Okay.
And so when we can partner together in the master communities and other areas, it allows builders to build more homes affordably, and it allows us to partner with them. And the city has really been a leader in helping make those connections and help encourage builders to build affordably.
That's great. So you're a CEO of a nonprofit, so you get to brag. What is one thing that you are most proud of that the Habitat for Humanities here in Austin is doing that you think gives us bragging rights?
Well, we are hosting the Carter Work Project.
Okay.
In October of 25.
Okay. What does that mean?
So the Carter Work Project is the Super Bowl of Habitat.
Okay.
So we partner with Habitat International to build 25 homes in 1 week.
25 homes in 1 week.
With
wow.
800 volunteers on site a day.
Oh my gosh. From Austin?
About 70% of the people will be from Austin.
Okay.
30% of the people will be international and from all across the country.
So people are flying in just to be able to build homes for our residents.
Right.
And that's amazing.
We applied and we won the bid to do the Carter Work Project here. And we are just really excited to do that. That was a lift for our team.
Sure.
They soared, and the same with putting 75 homes in the market and making a commitment to do that for 7 to 10 years. We want to put 500 homes in the market, which was what we did in our first 38 years. So our team and our board and all the volunteers and you are what has made this possible.
Wow. Thank you. Well, Austin is so lucky to have you and your leadership.
Oh,
I'm glad
you.
That you took that interview and came to Austin. So in closing, if you could talk to our audience, our podcast audience that's listening and watching this, what is one takeaway or one action you want people to know about related to Habitat for Humanity?
One action would be go to our website and follow us on Facebook, on LinkedIn, because you will get all of this information and you'll see what we release, and share it.
Share the fact that there are homes available.
Yes.
And people can afford to get into these
right.
homes.
Right. Everywhere I go, when someone asks me, they're surprised. And we need less people to be surprised and more people to have homes.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's been such an honor, Michelle, to get to talk to you on the record.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFScapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.